97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Wow, just looking back over the ballot, the sample ballot, you really, really, really need to look at this before you go to the voter booth. Can I just tell you that wherever you are in the sound of my voice, Illinois, Missouri, wherever, the one I'm looking at happens to be from the sample ballot is from St. Louis County. 43 issues on there. Lots of things for you to look at. State, local, national, these propositions, some local propositions. St. Louis County's got three propositions of its own in addition to the six or seven that are on the Missouri statewide ballot. And these are all things you need to understand, or it's going to take you an hour to vote. Like on election day, the lines are going to be super long because a bunch of low information voters are going to waltz in there and suddenly realize they've got 43 things they've got to figure out. So pay attention, folks. Right now, I want to welcome in former Senator John Lamping to the show. John, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Mark and Kim. I guess I'm going to pack a lunch on election day. Maybe bring a thermos and a book or something.
No, because you'll be prepared.
You'll be waiting a while, though, behind people who are not prepared.
That's right.
Right.
Vote early. If you can, go vote early. It opens, I think, the 22nd for no excuse absentee voting. You can just go get it done early, and that way you'll have no excuse on election day.
That's a good idea. Unfortunately, in St. Charles County, there's only one place to vote, and it's like 35 miles from my house, but I think I might still do that.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. You know, I was listening on my drive back from Arkansas yesterday to parts of the Annie Fry show, and they had Mike Elam on there filling in, and he brought in Scott Faughn and spent a couple segments with him. And even Scott Faughn was focused on this Senate 15 race here in Missouri, John, because that race, which, well, you know, Andrew Koenig held that seat for a long time and has termed out now, could be the if it goes for the Democrats, which I would not have thought was even a possibility, that could flip the supermajority the Republicans have in the Missouri legislature, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the Senate District 15 is kind of Chesterfield and Baldwin, and in the last 25, 30 years, this has been the most Republican, most conservatively held seat. And unfortunately, with the demographic changes that have gone on in St. Louis County, it's the last remaining Republican seat, and it's definitely at risk. So the way the Senate operates is there's 34 state Senate seats, and currently 24 are held by Republicans, and you need 23 to have a supermajority. And why that's important is that with you can override any governor veto. Now, that's not an issue with Republican governor, but you do have the ability to actually disagree with the governor if you have a supermajority. So we've had the supermajority for since 2008. When I was a senator, I was the 26th senator, but we're going to lose the Columbia seat. Caleb Rowden governed as a Democrat, so guess what? We're getting a Democrat this time around. And it's going to come down to this seat in the 15th. And what's happened is that David Gregory is our nominee. He's a very good nominee. He served in the House. He ran and lost for the auditor's race last time that seat was up. But he's governed while in the House in a very conservative way, which is not necessarily consistent with St. Louis County anymore. And then the Democrats have wisely put up a very strong candidate. His name is Joe Peerless. He's a retired Drury executive in the Drury Hotel family, which, ironically enough, is a very conservative family, huge supporter of Republicans. And with this Amendment 3 initiative on the ballot, in St. Louis County being so pro-Amendment 3, there's a lot of warning flags about what's going on in Senate District 15. And so this is one of those times where your listening audience, we often tell them, you know, to bring friends to the polls and get people excited about Republicans. And I operate on the assumption that a big part of your listening audience is already in the right way. This is one of those times where they actually do need to call people. If they have family and friends that live in Baldwin and Chesterfield, contact them to let them know that they have to support David Gregory. Don't believe any of the ads that are out there and support him, because if we don't, we will really risk having lost that supermajority in the Senate.
You mentioned Amendment 3, and we've talked obviously a lot about that. And I have to say, I was really encouraged to see the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, donated some $300,000 to a group that is anti-Amendment 3. And we've talked about this too on the show with you about how it's frustrating that all this outside money comes in, pours in from Planned Parenthood and others like it to support things like Amendment 3. But it's like, where's everybody else? Where's the other side? Why is there not more money being funneled to support that?
Well, that was a bold initiative on the part of the Kansas City Chiefs ownership, now that family. And the amount of money was really, that doesn't matter so much as, I mean, there's so much free publicity just because they're the Kansas City Chiefs owners. And, you know, they, along with their kicker, Butker, you know, have taken a very public stance. And that is very encouraging. But the reality remains is that the pro-Amendment 3 side will outspend the anti 5 or 6 to 1. Most of that money is coming from outside the state, of course. Mm-hmm. It's all part of this big liberal Democratic agenda to get this across the finish line. What I've heard more specifically, though, is that the level of intensity pro side of this initiative is centered in St. Louis. The St. Louis City, St. Louis County is where the pro side is really centered, and that across the rest of the state in more blue areas, there's not as much intensity. So that's kind of political speak for it's closer than people thought it might be. And, you know, I hope that, you know, we're all pushing hard, and a lot of different groups are organized on the anti side. And we hopefully we get a victory ever so small. But again, this is where all across the state, the only race that we can find where Amendment 3 is going to potentially have an impact on the outcome of another race is in Senate District 15.
Yeah, well, something that to watch there. I honestly, that's going to be a major upset if David Gregory. I've reached out to him. I'm going to try to get him back on the show between now and Election Day. But we got to get people out there to vote. There's no doubt about that. And on these, you know, these propositions and amendments, I worry. I mean, I was listening to Fawn yesterday talking about some of them. I just don't think people have any idea how long it's going to take them to vote on Election Day, John.
No, that's right. It's going to be a miserable experience. And you know, maybe on some level it'll work to our advantage in that, you know, the amendments are near the end. And as you get through the ballot, some people might just give up and move on. A lot of it's called an undervote when people go in and they just vote for one or two things and leave the rest of the ballot blank. I think we'll probably have a record undervote this year.
Do you have any thoughts on, like, people keep asking about the judges? The Missouri Bar Association is the only group I know that ranks the judges based on feedback from attorneys, but it's rarely bad. I think they've only recommended against retaining a judge once in the last recent memory anyway. But when I look down through there are a couple of these judges who obviously were on the Missouri Supreme Court, right? Bronick and Gooch, who voted in favor of kicking this Amendment 3 off the ballot, right?
Yeah, my concern is that the pro Amendment 3 people will organize around those two names to get them, you know, get them out of office. Is this speaks volumes to the way we do Supreme Court justices is called the Missouri Court Plan. And guess what? The legal community thinks it's the greatest thing in the whole world because it limits the choices the governor gets to make. And then the governor's limited to three choices that essentially the legal community picks. And then they fall back on this. After the first term, then they're on the ballot to reconfirm them. And you and I both know that the opportunity to learn much of anything about any of the attorneys is near impossible.
Right.
But I have heard some rumblings amongst the pro Amendment 3 side that they need to go after the judges that voted to take that off the ballot. And if that ends up happening, I think it's probably too late to organize against it. If that actually ends up happening, maybe that'll be the spark that'll get the General Assembly to figure out a way to get rid of the court plan, though it's very difficult. In my time in office, we tried, and it's one of those things where both Republicans and Democrats come together and say, oh, no, this is wonderful. And it's wonderful because it works for the legal community, not necessarily for the citizens.
Yeah, that's a good point. John, we appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Yep. Former Missouri Senator John Lamping. Hey, did you forget to endorse to tell us how to vote on the judges? I'm like, generally speaking, I don't know what to tell you because there's no clear, unless you're in the courtroom with them, how do you know? And these attorneys rarely give bad reviews to these judges.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know those two Supreme Court judges need to be retained because they had the common sense to try to remove Amendment 3 from the ballot, and they got overruled. So that was Judge Bronick and Judge Gooch, Ginger Gooch and Kelly Bronick. So I would definitely vote to retain those two, for sure.
Get more at 971talk.com.